unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Ready the torpedo tubes, we're ready to shoot Dr. Spock into space. It is the day that Leonard Nimoy has passed at the age of 83. Sad news indeed, but let's all rejoice. It's another episode of Betamax and Laserdisc with myself, the Unheard Nerd, aka Will. That's my real name. And John. How are you, John?
I'm good, Will. How are you?
I'm alright. I'm a little bit downbeat. I'm a little bit sad about the Leonard Nimoy death. I mean, I don't tend to get depressed about, you know, people I've never met dying just because I've seen them in a film. Sad news. I kind of felt a bit sad. He was quite a good man.
It did come as a shock. It did surprise me when I first saw it on Twitter this evening. I mean, I knew he'd been rushed to hospital the other day, but we hadn't heard about it since then. So you assume that he got better and he'd left hospital because they don't bother reporting that bit, 'cause that's boring.
Yeah, yeah. quite a poignant last tweet, if I recall. I don't have it to hand. I read it earlier, but it was, you know, something about, you know, living life to the full and experiencing life and, you know, just live long and prosper. Basically, was the message. Quite poignant. And I think his grandson or granddaughter, I fail to remember which it is.
His grandson.
Officially announced the news earlier today. And Twitter and social media has been going mad with the V signs, the Vulcan hand signal. People putting pictures up of themselves doing it, lots of pictures of Leonard. And sad news. I mean, he's an enduring character. And certainly an icon of television and science fiction. So yeah, sad news indeed. But let's not dwell on that. We've always got Search for Spock to look forward to, and he'll make a comeback, no doubt. he'll be fine in the rebooted films, maybe. Anyway, moving on with the show, let's just try and get back into the swing of things. I suppose we should start where we often start, John, is what have you watched since the last time we spoke? Which, amazingly, was a month ago for this monthly show that just keeps on coming back month after month.
That's right, dedication, that's what you need.
This is the third month in a row that we've actually managed to get the show on time.
I know, I'm enjoying every minute of it.
It's brilliant. And I hope people are enjoying the... I did have a slight... We haven't mentioned him for a while, but we did have a slight sort of complaint almost that the show's too short now. It was MC Jeffy Jeff, Jeff Hunter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really complain. He just said, you know, what is this, a teaser? When we did the first half hour show. And so I think he's a little disappointed that it's not still the hour long format. But to be honest, Jeff, you're getting more shows because I can actually be asked to edit a half hour show rather than an hour and a half, 2 hours of us talking bollocks. So I think you're just going to have to suck it up and like it.
Exactly. I mean, do the poor pressure Will's under to edit those shows into an hour. It's ridiculous.
Nobody knows. I mean, honestly, my family are ready to divorce me. it's not true at all.
Kids don't recognise you anymore.
they just don't know who I am, yeah. But totally off topic, because what have you watched since the last time we spoke, John?
Pass. I don't recall anything. I've been catching up on TV mostly at the moment.
All right. What have you been watching TV wise then?
Catching up on Agent Carter, because that's just finished. Got a few of those left.
And you're enjoying that?
Oh, we're very much enjoying that, yes.
Yeah.
I've got one more Constantine to watch before I then start praying that NBC renew it.
Well, rumour is it's going to go to Sci-Fi Channel.
Rumour is I've heard that's bollocks.
Rumour is I'm out of date with my information. Moving on.
Actually, someone tweeted, I can't remember his name, it's David something, the guy who's head of it all, and just asked him straight out, have you been cancelled? And he said, no, I go back to NBC in May and I pitch them the second season and then they make a decision. It's like, oh, God, May! So Everyone just keep praying a bit longer. We'll soon find out.
I think there's been a bit of a buzz. I mean, actually, to see, keeping it with the Star Trek theme, see William Shatner tweeting at NBC saying, why haven't you renewed Constantine yet? It's like, wow, okay. You know, fans in high places. So, yeah, good to read that.
Yeah, hopefully it just won't come down to that, because the numbers have never been that impressive, but the fan support always seems really high.
It's a strong, yeah, it's a really strong show, and anyone I've spoken to that watches it loves it. It's just a shame there aren't more people watching it, I think. It's strange. I don't know why it hasn't really... I guess he's not such a well-known character from the comic book world.
No.
Maybe people don't latch onto it as much as they might, you know, something else, like The Flash or... Yeah.
Or Arrow.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe. Who knows? Any other TV you've been watching?
I finally finished season one of Black Sails. That's been really good.
All right. I haven't watched... Is that a pirate thing?
Yes, it's...
The name pirates. Gives it away a little bit.
Yes, it's pirates, boobs, and swearing, and violence, and boobs.
Might have to watch that.
It's well worth watching, yeah. 8 episodes for season one. Season two's been on for 4 weeks now in the US, so I'm going to catch up with that and see if it carries on its high levels.
It's available to me on Amazon Prime, but I haven't... Yeah, I haven't got time to watch all these programmes. But talking of boobs and violence, Game of Thrones. Turns out we're not in HBO's Bad Books, which is great, because I actually managed to run a competition on the website last week. To win season 4 DVD box sets and books and stuff from HBO. So, yeah.
Excellent.
That was nice. Nice of them to get in touch and say, hey, let us give shit away on your website, which we did. And went to 2 lucky winners, who are Gabriella Ayala and Siobhan Grant, who both ladies. Lots of ladies entered the competition for DVD box sets of Game of Thrones, which is great. So yeah, good to hear that we're still in with HBO. I also got invited, John, to kind of Game of Thrones related, and I couldn't make it. Kit Harington stars as, I think he's Jon Snow in in Game of Thrones, but he also does one of the voices in How to Train Your Dragon 2. I got invited by DreamWorks to go to their preview theatre in Soho Square to watch How to Train Your Dragon 2 with an introduction by Kit Harington.
Oh, wow.
Which would have been fantastic, but they sent the invite out with the wrong day. I think they said it was Monday the 6th of February, and I thought, that's actually a Friday. The 16th was a Monday, so I emailed them back saying, if it's the 16th, I can definitely come, because I was going to take my daughter, who loves How to Train Your Dragon, you know, 1 and 2, and the TV series. I was going to take her, and it would have been on half term. But then they said, oh, actually, we meant the 9th. okay, well, I can't come then, because she still has school, and I've got other shit to do. So I didn't get to go, but that was quite exciting as well. So, yeah, it's nice to get noticed by these people with their events, and hopefully we'll both get to benefit from those and more in the future. But,
I hope so. It's just a shame a lot of the time it seems to be short notice, like this is our full-time job.
Yeah, exactly.
If only like, oh, massive movie premiere tomorrow and you're invited, come along tomorrow, I'm taking the kids out.
I'm actually working. I've got a job that I have to do, which is a shame, but it's nice, it's nice. And if these things weren't at short notice, I mean, it's easier for me being in London to just go along to these things sometimes after work, but a bit more of a logistical nightmare, I think, for you at times. But anyway, we'll keep our fingers crossed that more comes up.
Bottom line, we're getting the recognition.
That's exactly, which is nice. We're doing something right. Completely off topic again. What have I watched since the last time we spoke, John? You may be asking, or not. But I'm going to tell you either way. I watched a documentary which was really, really good, actually. It's called Searching for Sugar Man. And it's not nerdy, particularly. It's not superhero. But it's about a musician who had 2 albums out in America. His name is Rodriguez. He's a Native American gentleman who had 2 albums. Everybody that was behind the albums, the producers, the record company people, thought that he was bigger than Bob Dylan. He was like just a really fantastic artist, and his songs are amazing. Listening to him now, this was like the early 70s. Listening to the songs now, amazing. But anyway, there was this rumor, like, he never got picked up, nobody bought his records. He sold, like sold no records basically in America.
Yeah.
And there was this rumor that he killed himself on stage. Some people say he set light to himself.
Oh, right.
Others say he shot himself. Anyway, the story moves to South Africa, where Rodriguez, you know, during the height of apartheid and then the, you know, the waning of apartheid, becomes this massive cultural star, bigger than Elvis. Like, he is bigger than Elvis in South Africa. He was, his records, he sold, I don't know, like 500,000 records in South Africa. And he was, yeah, a massive star, and people thought he was dead. So no, nobody ever tried to contact him. But his records were bootlegged. Like, everybody has a copy of a Rodriguez album in South Africa, bizarrely enough. And so some music journalists sort of start digging into his life, finding out what he, who he was, where he came from, what he did. And eventually they tracked him down. He's not actually dead. He's a labourer, and he, you know, works sort of construction. And so they got him out to South Africa, and he played a, like, he's played several tours, sold out tours in massive venues, like 200,000 seat venues or something, yeah, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And but he does these tours in South Africa where he's this huge megastar. Gets paid a bucket load of money now, goes back to the States and carries on working construction, even though he's like, you know, pretty old at this point. And sort of just gives his money to friends and family, and, you know, makes sure everybody else is okay. Lives a very humble life, has no central heating, basically has an open fire for heat. Lives in like downtown or downtrodden Detroit, where it's all, it's an amazing story. I recommend it to everyone. Really, really good. I also watched, TV-wise, I think I've caught up with The Flash. I'm a couple of episodes behind on Gotham. I've finished Constantine. And I've not mentioned it before, but my wife and I have been watching The 100, or The 100, depending on how you say it. Have you seen any of that?
Name rings a bell. Enlighten me.
It's over here, it's shown on Channel 4, or E4, I would say. E4 being the entertainment channel for Channel 4, which I don't know what the difference is really. but we watch it on demand. It's a second season. It's about a group initially of 100 kids who had committed juvenile crimes aboard a space station. Mankind had had to leave Earth because of, you know, the shit that man does, ruining the planet. Gone up to space, living in what they call the Ark, a space station that's supposed to maintain humankind until the Earth is habitable again after nuclear, you know, fallout from wars or whatever, you know, blah, blah. but these kids have committed crimes. There's 100 of them, and they decide to send them down to the surface because they've got no future on the space station. They come down to Earth, take the chance. If they survive, then they're free, basically.
Right.
Roll on through the season, you know, season one. Basically, the kids are on the ground. They encounter the inhabitants of the Earth that have survived. There are different factions. There's the Grounders, which are like a savage sort of tribal people. They're very honourable. They believe in blood for blood. They, you know, if you kill one of theirs, they'll kill one of yours. But basically, they don't like the Sky People. The Sky People don't like the Grounders. And then there's Reapers, who are like more savage than the Grounders. Then there are the people that live in a mountain who are... at risk of exposure to the radiation. They're very susceptible to it, so they live underground, and they've kidnapped some of the Sky People to use their blood to make their blood better, you know, so they can survive. There's all these different tangents going on. And the poor thing about it is it's really badly written. It's like you can predict everything that's going to happen in every show. There are very few surprises. And yeah, I keep going back and watching it episode after episode. So I don't know what to say about that other than I've been watching that. Film-wise, I watched The Cure for the Common Cold. What's that, you may be thinking? That is a film called Divergent. A film so dreadful that my cold that I've had for 4 days has made me feel absolutely dreadful. I actually came home last night feeling like death, sat down, watched Divergent. My cold was so fed up with this film, it got up and left. I felt better. I have actually felt miles better since watching Divergent. It is shit. Have you seen it?
I don't plan to. It looks like, I don't know if it's the same company as Hunger Games. It just looks like, you know, someone's rushed out, nabbed another book license and gone, it'll be the same as the Hunger Games. Make this series of books. The teenage kids will love it. And I'm like, oh, whatever.
It really is. In fact, my wife said exactly the same thing. She was like, it's like Hunger Games light. And I haven't actually personally seen Hunger Games, but I totally get where she's coming from. It's got the girl that was supposed to play, I think, Mary Jane in the Spider-Man movie, and then didn't, or whatever. I don't know. The dialogue is atrocious. I mean, not verbatim, but this is an example of how the dialogue goes. I thought I was going to die. Yeah, but you believed in yourself. I did. Great. It's so fucking... like, nothing... Oh, I hated the characters. It wasn't one I was rooting for. It's like, I just hope you all die. I just really just please just kill each other. It's the characters you're supposed to root for as heroes in this in this farcical plot where the inhabitants of the earth is a bloody blah apocalypse. Earth wiped out. One city remains. It's gated so that nobody can get in. There are five factions within the city. There are the very like sort of earthy people who sort of look after the fields and do the farming shit, and they're actually the ones in charge, believe it or not. But people don't like them. So there's the smart people who are into business and philosophy and all that, and they don't like the sort of humble people, and they want to take over what they're doing. And then there's another faction who didn't really feature, and another faction nobody gives a shit about, and then there's a faction of sort of young kids who are like, we all do parkour and we're the police and we're like the law enforcement, and it's, oh my god, it's dreadful. And of course this girl from the farming community joins the parkour kids, and she doesn't fit in, but she's weak and you know she's not going to pass the test to stay in, so she'll be factionless, she'll be an outcast. But oh no, montage time, she trains really hard and she gets bloodied knuckles and she learns to be a really useful person. But the problem with her is they have a test to choose definitively which faction you belong to. She is not assigned a single faction. She could be in any one of three, so therefore she's a divergent. And you know, there's this whole thing about she can't let on, the authorities mustn't know she's a divergent, blah blah. Oh, it's just boring. It's so boring, and I watched it all and I wish I hadn't, but it got rid of my cold. I feel a bit better, that's what I've watched. I did watch something else which was all right. Oh no, it wasn't, it was dreadful. I watched Riddick.
Oh yeah, that's the third one in the trilogy, isn't it? Live action trilogy.
I don't know, I saw what was the first film? Pitch Black, wasn't it?
Pitch Black, then The Chronicles of Riddick, and then just Riddick.
I didn't see The Chronicles of Riddick, which kind of explains why I was confused at the beginning of Riddick, because it was all like up in space and he was some sort of space lord.
Carl Urban's there, isn't he, doing something?
Yeah, kind of bit made up, a little bit of makeup on him. funny hair. It was poor. It was really poor. It was like for half of, well, say a third of it, it was like Riddick, one man and his dog.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
It's like, oh, the dog's dead. Oh no, it's gone to John Wick. And then I don't know. I didn't really care for it.
The bit that pissed me off was Katie Sackhoff turns up and goes, "I'm a butch lesbian. I hate men." And then give it an hour or so, just going, "Oh, Riddick, you make me so wet. Take me away." Like, what?
Yeah, it's a very confused film. I don't know, it felt like it was trying to sort of, I don't know, maybe just trying to go back to the core elements of Pitch Black, but just not really managing it. So yeah,
I think that's where it failed. I think it's trying to be Pitch Black again, and it's like, well, you've already done Pitch Black, we don't need it again.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you just can't really recreate that. So why even bother? But yeah, there was that. But anyway, mentioning Katie Sackhoff, have you seen the gritty Power Rangers short film from Adi Shankar's stable?
Yes, I watched it just last night.
What do you think of it?
Don't like it.
You don't like it? Yeah, interesting. No,
I mean, some of the visuals were interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I've never been interested in Power Rangers per se.
Yeah.
But so something technical that really bothered me, the music mix was too loud.
Oh, yeah.
No. I don't know if it's just me, but I just couldn't hear what they were saying half the time.
No, I agree. I think, yeah, I don't remember clearly, but I kind of vaguely recall that being the same for me. Like, I think I got over it pretty quickly, like kind of adjusted to it. But I think you're right, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like you, never a Power Rangers fan. I think I'm just a little bit too old for it. It passed me by. It came out when I was at an age where I saw it and thought, oh my God, this is hyperactive bollocks. It's just, you know, the over-gesturing, all that. I just really dumb my
head. Well, it's a butchering of Japanese films, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the Americans filmed some of those cheesy live-action people in jumpsuit inserts to go in between the Japanese men in suits having fights in model cities.
But I mean, I thought the not reboot, but the fan film, if you like, the director.
Anyway, oh, right, yeah.
I think he's done a decent job actually. I mean, it was interesting. It's the longest I've ever watched a Power Rangers anything for ever. It kept my interest. I don't know, just like you, not really that interested in Power Rangers. But as a short, I thought it was quite interesting. And that was quite strange to see, because his name's James Van Der Beek or something.
That's him, yeah.
What was he in? Wasn't he Dawson's Creek?
Dawson's Creek. Yeah. For me, I always think of him as Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He's in that. That's where I always think of him.
That's right, he was, yeah. So strange casting, but an interesting project. I mean, yeah, you can't like them all, can you?
No.
I would, at this point, like to correct a couple of mistakes I made in the last show.
Okay.
It's very hard for me to humbly admit that I'm wrong. Sometimes I get carried away. So the firstly is not called Avengers 3 Infinity Gauntlet Part 1 and 2. It's actually called Infinity Wars, apparently. So there's that. I got that wrong right from the beginning.
You.
Thanks. Let's hope other people can as well. And I also said that the Peter Petrelli character would be returning for Heroes Reborn. Utter bullshit, apparently. Apparently not.
Is he so snowed under with work he can't make that particular gig?
I think, I don't know, he's too busy for pulling funny facial poses. He's got that odd mouth thing going on, hasn't he? I think we discussed it actually in an early show, that way back before it was called Betamax and Laserdiscs, the podcast, when it was still the Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast. I think he actually had some sort of nervous or like some sort of thing with his mouth. It makes his mouth go down on one side.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that. Anyway, it seems he's not going to be in it, but also not asked, apparently. Hayden Panettiere was not asked to appear in it. The woman that played like 15 different characters, I can't remember her name, but I think she was played the character Nikki originally, and then she like had alter egos and like millions of them. She's not in it.
Is it just cheerleader's dad is about the only one who's in it at the moment?
HRG and possibly Hero. Apparently is a possible. But other than that, yeah, no, just him. So, yeah, that show's sort of losing interest for me. But I will give it a go when it comes out. I'll have a look. Other TV stuff that's been out, I don't know, have you watched Better Call Saul?
I've only ever watched the first season of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. You didn't really care for it, really, did you?
No, I loved it. We just haven't got round to watching the rest of it.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. Well, yeah, I watched all of Breaking Bad. My wife and I binged it all in a space of a couple of months. I haven't caught Better Call Saul yet, but it's something I should look at some point. Apparently, it's very good as a standalone show.
Ah, okay. Well, just a couple of things I think that happened recently that I thought were worth mentioning.
Yeah.
One big one, Spider-Man is now officially coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings about this. You tell me what you think first.
Well, I'm really open to the idea. I'm happy to see Spidey come along and join the rest of the gang, fight the battles against whoever. But I think one thing I firmly believe in is we don't want another origin story.
No, we don't. We don't need a reboot of it.
Yeah. I mean, for fuck's sake, just introduce the character in some way and have him do whatever. Maybe a flashback at most, but please, not another origin.
Yeah, I think possibly they're going to take it somewhere else in the Spider-Verse. There's rumours that, you know, there might be the Miles Morales Spider-Man rather than the Peter Parker one. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to go. Apparently, they're going to go back rumour is that they're going to go back for a high school Spider-Man, so he's going to be a young Spider-Man, which a lot of people have been throwing around the name of Donald Glover for the role. He's just put himself out there for the role for years and years and years. If you don't know who he is, he played Troy in Community. It's probably where he got his fame from. He's also known as Childish Gambino. That's his rap name. So he's a rapper too. Yeah, but I mean, he's all the time. He's always said he loves Spider-Man. Spider-Man is his thing. Just desperately wants to play the character. Could easily step into the role, the Miles Morales role of Spider-Man. But I think it's unlikely. He's 31 now or something.
That's a bit late, I think.
I mean, he could probably pull it off. He looks young, but I don't know. I don't know which way they'll go. But yeah, it's interesting. But at the same time, a little bit disappointing, because he's going to be included in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a Marvel film, not as a standalone character, allegedly.
I mean, I think is his first appearance still due to be Captain America 3, I think.
Possibly. I'm not sure. But then Fox take that character and go off on their own, and you know, there'll be Marvel guidance, but essentially it's still going to be Sony, not Fox.
Sony.
It's going to be a Sony film, and they basically have control over the character in the Sony film, the Sony, you know, controlled films, and Marvel will be there to advise but not really get involved. And that's where that's what worries me, because they fucked it up time and time again, in my opinion. And you know, what are they going to do now? All right, we'll have this great film with Spidey in a Marvel film, and then Sony go off and what, ruin it again? I'm scared about that.
Well, hopefully, they've had two disasters, Spider-Man 3 and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, both disasters. Hopefully they've learned something by now.
I mean, I just haven't really enjoyed any of the Spider-Man films, to be honest, perfectly honest. I mean, some of them are not bad, but I haven't really been blown away by any of them. I've never gone back and watched one a second time. They don't hold my interest. So, I don't know, Spidey's just not really a character for me either. I've never really related to Spidey that much. I prefer, I don't know, superheroes with a bit of rough about them, I suppose, rather than, you know, this very clean, like cheeky, chappy young man. Just doesn't really do it for me. Don't know.
Call me weird.
So yeah, there's that.
And the other second point that greatly interests me is the fact that Fox have greenlit an Alien 5 movie.
Yeah, well,
with that's... Neil Blomkamp behind the camera.
That's right, directing. Well, I mean, he really pitched it on Instagram a little while ago, didn't he?
He did, yeah. There was about 4 or 5 pictures he unleashed, and the internet went mad for it.
Do you think that was clever marketing, or do you think that was just him saying, this is what I want to do, I'm going to put this out there? Do you think they were just gauging reactions, like, do people want this? And then
it does seem that way, doesn't it?
People lost their shit over it. Yeah, maybe people lost their shit over it, and they thought, right, okay, well, let's do this then.
I mean, Sigourney Weaver said, because obviously they're doing the promotional rounds for Chappie at the moment.
Yeah.
And Sigourney Weaver has said that the story he's got is very good. He's got loads more of concept art, but obviously he's not going to release that because it's for a film that's now in active development.
Again, mixed feelings about this. Yeah, I'd love to see... I mean, the concept art looked amazing, for starters. Got me very excited for it. But I find Neil Blomkamp a little bit hit and miss. Yeah, he comes up with these really great ideas, and he's got, certainly I think his visual style could suit an Alien film, but I only ever like about half of his films, and then I don't know the rest. I don't like District 9 was really two films for me. I enjoyed the serious element to it, like the actual, like, this is a situation, it's fantastical, I know, but this is a situation that could happen, and it was on a very sort of very real sort of level, you know, the aliens that don't integrate well with humans and the tensions that causes. But then it was almost like a slapstick comedy element to it, which felt very weird. And I know a lot of people preferred that part of the film to the bit I preferred. But so I don't like his kind of mix that he puts together. And I feel a little bit like that with Chappie as well. I don't recall, what was his last film? It was quite a big film, wasn't it?
Elysium with Matt Damon.
Elysium, yeah. Apparently recently he's come out and said he fucked it up.
I actually have to agree with him, because And I like District 9 as a whole, and I was really looking forward to Elysium. And I think almost exactly what he said recently in an interview, Elysium, I love the design and the look, but the story was a bit meh.
Yeah, it really was. It was. Yeah. It was all right. It passed the time, but yeah, well, nothing. I can't actually remember much about it, if I'm honest. I remember some of the visuals. I don't really remember much of the story, other than, you know, post-apocalyptic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. Not sure about that.
But also, the timeline situation seems a bit wavy at the moment, because he's like, oh, I'm ignoring the last two films. And you go, can you ignore the last two films and then still have Ripley in it? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he come back and say, well, actually, no, I'm not ignoring the last two films, but I'm making more of a connection with the first two because they're my favourites. I'm not totally ignoring three and four. You know? What? Is this going to be like Star Trek going to jump in here? Is it going to be an alternative timeline? This is what could have happened after Aliens.
I don't know. I mean, unless it's going to be something that happened. I don't know. I can't remember how the continuity goes between two and three. But is it possible to put a film in sort of 2.5? I don't know.
Not really. No.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I guess we can only wait and see. I mean, speculation. We can speculate all we want, but we won't know until it actually comes out.
No.
Do you have any other movie stuff to talk about?
No, that's just those two major points, really.
Okay. With a hole in our heart left by the death of Leonard Nimoy, live long and prosper, John. Until next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
UnheardNerd.com.